In Bananas, we've been studying what the extra biblical things that were read at the time of Christ. And the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees, the Psalter of Solomon, Enoch.
Tomorrow night.
Enoch.
We read a lot of Enoch, some of Enoch last night. Enoch is wild.
I tried to read it once. I had to put it down. It scared me. I mean, I got through about the first three or four pages.
It's like Jude, 74 chapters long.
Yeah.
It's 160 like chapters. Or something.
Yes.
Anyway, but the purpose of it was to try to bring into the consciousness of Bananas what the mindset of the population of the people was like during this time. And everybody expected Messiah to appear. We read also from Deuteronomy 18, where it talks about the prophet, in case you guys want to do this. And we read in Daniel 9, the prophecies of the 70th week. So all these things are part and parcel of the expectancy that was taking place at the time of Hanukkah. For Wendy's, we believe that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary on the eighth day of the Feast of Hanukkah. So let's read let's read Zechariah. The readings for Zechariah are Zechariah 2:10 to 4:7, but we're going to start in verse 1 and read through verse, so at the end of verse 4.
Start where?
We're going to start in the beginning.
Chapter 1.
And does anybody remember who Zechariah is contemporary with?
Would it be cheating if I had it right here in my Bible?
Yes.
He's contemporary. Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai. It was the building of what came to be known as the Zerubbabel's temple, right? Everybody remember that? Okay, so it's written about 520 B.C., so, Larry, read the first, read about 10 verses of the first chapter.
In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways, and from your evil doings, but they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I have commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is in the month of Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth.
Okay.
And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 80 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what came these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it.
Does anybody understand that perfectly?
Carpenters have an exalted place.
The horn is not talking about a horn like on an antler. The horn, it's a word that means in the Hebrew, you know, when you're on the desert and you can see forever and ever and it's cloudy and then there's a ray of light comes shooting forth out of the sky. And that light, the light, intensified light, it also comes to mean power. And so it's the power, the horns initially were the power that God gave the Gentiles to cause Jerusalem not to be built, rebuilt. And now the carpenters are going to rebuild the temple. Now let's just leave it at that. Everybody understand that a little bit? Okay, Gary, would you read chapter 3, or 2, I mean?
I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof.
Okay, let's stop a minute. Let's go back to these horns. The horns caused all kinds of damage to Israel and to Jerusalem. You understand that? But it was God's horns that did it. It was God's power that did it. I mean...
You said they were lightning?
No, I said one of the words that's translated horns is the word that means the light rays.
Oh.
But it also means power. Now, this isn't anything that's like subjective, like, well, the idea that God wanted the parable of the temple to be seen is not, I mean, that would be a good thing, and yet God destroyed it. And so all I want you to see is that if something negative happens in you, that you are more able to see chastisement from the Lord, if you can see he even chastised the building of Jerusalem. Amen?
Yeah.
And you want a God after your own image. You want a God created how you think God should be. And so what you want to do, in fact, is you want to create God. I can't conceive of a God that would do that. Well, it's because you're conceiving of your own God. So you want to be above God because you want to define him. And that's why Satan fell. Because he wanted to define God. You want to define what goes on.
It's like it seems like they were like under this until at some point they finally realized that God was behind it. You know, like tutors and governors. I mean, that they seem like an odd thing. They seem like this horns of the Gentile. It always seems outer directed. And
yeah, well, in this case, it was... it was when, God used, well, I don't want to get into that. Let's study that one.
It just struck me how funny it is to say, I can't conceive of a God who would or wouldn't do that. That's a really funny thing to say.
Yes.
I can't conceive of that God. Well, I don't want a God that I can conceive.
But that's what we all do.
It would be less than me if I could conceive it.
You know, like today, I mean, I didn't sleep hardly. I mean, I haven't gotten more than just like 10 minutes of sleep since yesterday sometime, at a time. And I can't conceive of a God that would create, that would put me in pain. No. But I can conceive of, I know a God that would put me in whatever position was necessary to cause the body to come to fruition. So whether I'm in pain or not in pain isn't even an issue then.
Yeah, I've never had those words hit me emotionally as I did about creating your own God, which that was scary. Because that's what I want to do.
That's what you have done.
I don't want a God that can be contained within my head. Because that's not much of a God.
Oh, well, yes, you do.
Well,
of course you do daily.
So of course I do. Yes, you do. Yes, you have.
Well, I have. Unfortunately, I can't get away with it.
Okay, let's go on.
And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I say that the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me.
Okay. All that was introductory. Now from now until 4:7, maybe 4:1, I can't tell. We'll have to wait till we get there. Is the reading for Hanukkah. Alright? All that was just introductory stuff. Go ahead. No, you read it already. Doug?
Okay. In 11?
Ten.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment.
Okay, what was the filthy garments that he had on? Who is the he?
Christ. He is the sin of the world on?
Joshua.
Yeshua.
Jesus. In his office as high priest. Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And Jesus didn't rebuke Satan, but he said, the Lord rebuke him. And then we see Jesus standing with filthy garments. What are the garments?
The righteousness of the saints.
Yeah. No, the garments are the sin that he took on, the check. He paid the price for the whole world. He took on every mistake. Is on that garment. Every reason for self-consciousness, every reason that you have to think that you made a mistake or did something wrong, all possible acts of self-consciousness or self wanting to change or wanting to change circumstances and all the sin, all of it is, that's what those filthy garments are. Understand that?
underneath this thing from 10, those four verses, thinking yeah. about, you know, Hanukkah, the conception of, you know,
right.
and Mary. It's
all to be silent.
In the midst of thee and all that kind of stuff. He leaves his holy habitation to this,
right.
you know, it's just wild. That's where the, you know, the real reality of what these feasts and things are. When you read these scriptures like that, just, they don't, you know, it's like in any other context, they kind of are weird, but, you know, in that context, it's, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It blows you away.
And they were reading this sutra at the time of
conception.
Conception. So she would have known. And it's like that had to come back into her. She would have just read this at some point during this time.
Yeah.
Keep
going, Doug.
And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. For they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.
Okay. John, read through verse 7.
4?
Yeah.
4:1. And the angel who talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And he said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top of it, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone of it with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Let's go ahead and read. Keep going.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? This is neat too. For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side of it? And I answered again and said unto him, what are these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these are? I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
Okay. Does everybody remember who the two anointed ones are? The only two in history that have never died.
Enoch and Elijah.
And what are they doing?
Waiting to die. I mean, that's the end of it, isn't it?
Yeah, but
you're emptying oil out of it.
Yeah, they're how can I say that? It says that they are emptying the oil out of themselves into the candlesticks.
Causes the light to shine.
They give of prophecy. They give of themselves that which
wisdom
creates the light. Reveals the light, really.
I wish.
I'm getting pretty close to the edge here on that. It's like, I don't know where we're going with this.
Well, in order to do it, we'd have to read Enoch here, so that's what I'm debating. The critical issue on all of this that I want you to be able to impart to the people in your Bible studies is that when it looked hopeless from the standpoint of that, then is when the Lord cries out and says, not by might nor by spirit. No, excuse me, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that was the agency for the birth of Christ, for the conception of Christ, was the Holy Spirit. And if you can hear this, that is singularly the only thing the Holy Spirit is ever doing in believers. He's birthing Christ, or the things of Christ. You understand that? It's never... Well, let's go to Numbers chapter 7. What is this feast called? What is Hanukkah called in the New Testament?
Dedications.
It's a feast of dedications. Okay, now let's read something. Number 7. It came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it, and had sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered, and they brought their offerings before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each 1 an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them, excuse me, unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, according to their service. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. Now, the rest of this chapter, all the way down through, well, let's start, you can see it lists everything that was given. Go down through verse 7, verse, well, that's 88. And the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offerings were 20 and 4 bullocks, the rams 60, the goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar. After that, it was anointed. I want you to get in your head, I mean, you remember what we studied about Leviticus, if the Leviticus gives the schematic drawing of Jesus Christ, it lets you know everything about him in his most intimate detail. This reading on the Feast of Dedication lists everything that was given for the dedication of the altar. And it was the time, in other words, God moves in this way. You could get an idea of what God was going to do in this mystery of the conception by reading the reading for that day, because it gave us the fullness of what, just for the fun of it, let's go ahead and read some of it. I don't feel like reading anymore.
It's a long reading.
Anybody want to read? You want to read? Okay, start.
Let me say something. I'm trying to put this together. This is the conception time, and it's the dedication time, and it's the temple is being dedicated, but it's analogous or symbolic of conception. You all
right? Wait. Now, again, remember, we're thinking in parables. We're not thinking linearly here. This is inductive rather than deductive.
Well, that's what I'm switching gears.
Yeah, what we need to think of is this is what chapter 7 does is it gives us a picture, a series of word pictures of what's really taking place in the womb of Mary.
And part of that picture
So the picture is when her temple was dedicated, the Spirit placed inside that temple something.
Yeah, and her womb got real big because it was all of this, all these oxen.
Like Mary Poppins.
Okay. Read. Where do we stop?
9.
Okay.
Seven, nine.
We're back. We're going to go back and just get an idea of all of the goodies that we're dedicating. Well, here.
We read through nine.
Yeah, start at 10.
And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Abinadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was one silver charger, the weight thereof was 130 shekels. One silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering.
No. If you, I'm sure that all of you in stealth can remember in great detail when we taught the meaning of each one of those offerings. But trust me for a minute, because I know you can't. This is announcing to anyone with revelation what was being birthed, what was being conceived in the womb of Mary at this moment.
That old man. That old man, that
Zechariah,
the prophet. That,
He obviously saw it. He connected. So.
Cool. I didn't catch that.
Remember in the old.
Took him to be circumcised. Remember the old guy that was in the temple and they took Christ.
Said, now I can die or something.
So now I can die of seeing Messiah.
So
the people that were in tune, spirit with spirit, knew. Because of the prophecies of Daniel, because of the prophecies of Deuteronomy 18, the time was complete, everything was finished, and now as they were reading, they knew this was transpiring. This which had been foreshadowed after the flesh, a parable, is now being fulfilled. And every one of these things that are given here, whether it's the silver bowl or the shekels or the peace offerings or the you know, all of that. How many offering tapes do we have now?
Oh, I couldn't even begin.
A couple hundred, right?
Maybe. Could be.
Anyway, each one of these dissects and gives the revelation of Jesus Christ more fully. That's from every one of the tribes, from every one of the... And it shows you that... It shows the clearest picture in the universe of Jesus Christ right here. If your eyes were used to seeing the picture. All right.
One split of 10 shekels of gold full of incense, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for burnt offering, one kid of the goats for sin offering, and for sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs in the first year. This was the offering of Nashon the son.
Is it significant the order that, like, the son of Judah or the tribe of Judah comes first? Or?
Yeah, but everything is significant. You know, I wish we had time. But I mean, stealth doesn't mean enough. I'm not sure you want to hear that. But, just let me read for a while.
On the second day, Nathanael, the son of Zuar, prince of
Israel. Wait a minute, I lost my place.
18.
Did offer. He offered for his offering 1 silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels. 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering.
Okay. With revelation, what you can tell now from about that which was being conceived, you can see his office, his person, you can see him as the offering, you can see him as the offerer, you can see him as the priest, you can see all you need to know about him if you understood the offerings. That's why the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, are all that was ever needed to understand Jesus Christ and everything about him. That's why it says the gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's why it says that, you know, the their sound went into the gospel has been preached to every man already.
Go ahead. They all gave the same thing? They all gave the same thing?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that. I think that.
1 spoon of gold and 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nathanael, the son of Zuar.
Okay, that's enough. I would wager that when you went through that, you would see that there were some differences. Remember when we studied the offerings, we found there were some small, they repeated all the stuff and we couldn't figure out why, and then all of a sudden we found a small difference, and it was the small difference that caused the revelation in Brazil. So, but anyway, let's...
What is the 1 silver charger? What's a charger?
I don't remember.
It's a platter.
A platter, yeah.
Okay, so now... So trust me, you got an idea of all the stuff that's being offered on the Feast of Dedication, right?
Oh, so all this stuff is sitting on that, on silver.
Yeah.
They bring it in.
And the bowls,
silver platter, so it's all off the ground. Silver, just like the tabernacle's off the ground with silver.
And all this stuff was left. Flour. I mean, obviously they burnt the rams and bullocks and everything, but the silver stuff was used then in the...
Forever.
In the temple, right? That was...
Cool.
Where'd you get all this stuff?
What?
So where'd they get all this stuff?
They robbed Egypt.
No, that's what happened when all the jewelry that came when they came out of Egypt.
And they hammered it all into chargers and bowls and stuff.
All right.
You don't have an idea of how much they spoiled Egypt until you start adding up the weight and the value of all this. It destroyed Egypt.
Okay. Verse 88. And all of the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offering were 20 and 4 bullocks, the rams 60, the he-goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar. After that it was anointed. When Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony, from between the 2 cherubim, and he spake unto him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so, and he lit it. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlesticks. So the lighting of the candlestick in a temple is considered to have happened on the feast of dedication of the eighth day. Okay?
That's the Hanukkah lamp.
That's the Hanukkah lamp. Can't be used for anything.
I was just thinking of what must have happened when Moses walked in there for the first time and he heard a voice speaking to him from off the mercy seat. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place.
Cool. That's enough. I hurt. I gotta go. Anybody have anything else?
Just, you know, when I read something like this, just get an idea that I can't even, I hadn't even begun to think what the offering of Christ is. What it, you know, it's like, I only see it in, you know, as it relates to my most immediate situation, usually. I don't see what, you know, what's been done to allow me to even to exist. I mean, I don't even, I have no concept of the offering that allows me to.
Allows the universe to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, we talked some about the idea of evangelism and going out in our world, but you really have to see this light lighting the whole world. You have to see that it is, you know, for the nations, you know, the sacrifice for the nations.
That's good.
It's like, maybe expanding the whole thing.
Yeah, your tent pegs have to be expanded.
Yeah.
It's we're dealt with. We know, you know, but we got to see the whole. That it's for everyone.
Yeah, it's amazing you can bring meaning to this list of, you know, seeing, I mean, if they are identical, that's what they said in them. It's like, so what? You know, why all this listing and stuff? Unless you see it's all the...
Why is it repeated over and over?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, why didn't they say, and they all brought...
Why did God go in that much trouble?
Yeah. It's great.
That idea of this being, him being the light of the world, I just, when she said that, it made me, you know, think, I don't think maybe we have seen that as the whole light. I mean, we see him in this like the light of our world, you know, but I don't, you know, when she said that, you know, about how could evangelism take place unless we see that as the, you know, he is the light that lighteth the whole world, and have that eye, and having seen, you know, this thing.
Anybody have anything else?
Let's praise the Lord.
Amen.